In India, Sonia Gandhi is at the threshold of becoming only the second woman ever to lead the world's largest democracy. Gandhi is the daughter-in-law of the late Prime Minister Indira Gandhi. She is the widow of Rajiv Gandhi, also Prime Minister, assassinated during a campaign stop in 1991. Sonia Gandhi would be the first Christian and the first foreign-born Prime Minister of India. Today, Gandhi's Congress Party chose her as their leader. That's the first step to being Prime Minister of the country. Her likely ascendancy comes after this week's surprising election results, which forced the resignation of Prime Minister Atal Bihari Vajpayee and his BJP party from power. Joining us to talk about India's politics and the rise of Sonia Gandhi is NPR's Phil Reeves in New Delhi. Phil, Sonia Gandhi is expected to be the next prime minister, but she's not there yet. She doesn't yet have a majority of seats in the parliament. And presumably, she's got a lot of work to do this weekend in building that coalition government. What is she and what is the Congress Party up to?
She's not there yet, but she's very, very nearly there now. What they're up to is building an alliance with the left, primarily. They have in their hands some 60 seats. That would put the Congress Party and its allies into a majority in Parliament and leave them in a position where they would be able to assume the prime ministership, which in all likelihood would go to Sonia Gandhi, and to assume power as the ruling coalition in India.
Well, now, what about these leftists, especially the Marxists, who I gather are vital to Gandhi's coalition? Marxism has sort of gone out of favor in the rest of the world. How Marxist are these Marxists?
Well, that's the question that's preoccupying all the political analysts in India and beyond at the moment. A large part of the Communist Party is rooted in West Bengal, where the Communist Party's Marxist wing has a large holding of seats there. And it's historically had a reputation for being pretty pragmatic, encouraging these days foreign investment, for example. And so it seems that there is a gap between Marxist theory and practice on the ground in West Bengal, and particularly, of course, in the capital of the northeast and the capital of West Bengal, Calcutta. It's an issue, actually, we put to Nilot Pal Basu, who's a senior member of the Communist Party's Marxist branch in West Bengal.
India is a very complex place, and therefore we have to go through a lot of twists and turns. But basically, unless you earn the confidence of the people, you see, you cannot go ahead, because ultimately theory can become a moving force only when it is gripped by the masses.
That was Nilot Pal Basu, who's also the spokesman for the communist Marxist branch in the upper house. And essentially, I think he's saying that there's a gap between the theory, the Marxist theory, and practice. And in the practice level, the party's pretty pragmatic.
Now that Vajpayee is stepping down, and India has had a few days to sort of get used to the idea of Sonia Gandhi, what do you think they think of her?
Well, it's most interesting because, in a sense, one gets the feeling that they're just beginning to find out all the details of the person who they have, in all likelihood, just elected. They just obviously knew beforehand that she's from a Roman Catholic background, that she's not Indian, although she says she feels 100% Indian and wears a sari and speaks English, at any rate, and Hindi also. But her English is now with a quite marked sort of Indian accent. But she's born in Italy. And they're beginning to discover the details of her, the sort of details you'd expect anyone to know before an election, but these are only emerging now. For example, in the Times of India, which is one of the most respected papers in this country, they had a story today headlined, "The Sonia That No One Knows About." And this told us that Sonia has a sweet tooth, that she likes kebabs, that she doesn't smoke or drink alcohol, that she enjoys listening to classical music, and that she practices yoga. And it's all been delivered, in a sense, with the sort of air of discovery, as if they're just beginning to find out about their likely new leader. Interesting also because it's a reflection of how reserved she's been. She's was always in the background, particularly when she was married to Rajiv, the former Indian Prime Minister who was assassinated in 1991.
NPR's Phil Reeves is reporting from New Delhi. Phil, thank you very much.
You're welcome.